Hello, hello. Welcome back to another episode of the Muscle and the Hustle podcast. We probably need to change that name because there's been very little muscle and very little hustle been talked about. It's actually more like, what would you say?
Speak for yourself.
Deep and soft.
hustling through life.
I was going to say the hustle that isn't revolving around work as much, but yeah, we've got some topics to dive straight into. We done the Q&A last week. I think people enjoyed the way it went, but I think the deeper weeks obviously hit home. It just, the Q&As are one of the things, though, they just go any real way, whereas with this, you're guaranteed a bit more because we've picked topics because I've actually been probed about them. So thank you to anyone who's thrown in a little bit of an idea. I think that always helps. It guides us, and we know what you want then. So if you are listening, as Mickey always says at the start, please, it's always smart to do a bit of value first, so we'll do a bit of value.
And we've been called out on something.
Oh, gee, what is it?
I said the best burger was Smash Bros and been called out.
Where for? Where's better?
I was given two options, Burger, and Coal Island.
Where even is Coal Island, up north?
It's in Tyrone, East Tyrone. And Stranded and Kilray. I've heard about Stranded before. These will have to be
tipped. Baps is the best burger in... Where did you say it was?
Smash Bros? No, Baps, no. No. I don't think Babs is there anymore, actually. If it is, it was in the next cubicle up from Smash Bros. But I don't think it's there anymore.
Yeah, it should be 41 minutes ago it posted, so.
But unless it's moved over to
Vincent George's Market, isn't it?
It used to be in Common Market, and unless it's moved to Trade Market now.
Well, our Shauna's away today, so I'll give you a good review.
I've heard good things about Stranded.
Titanic Quarter Belfast.
Stranded?
Says here, Stranded Burger, Smash Goodness, now in Titanic Belfast.
Oh, maybe they're up here now too, but they're the Kilray one's the one he said. I was at the barbecue place last night.
Oh, it looks good. It looks good.
I went to Holy Smokes yesterday.
Oh, in Armagh?
Poured it out now.
That sort of direction. Holy smokes. Is that what it's called? That's a great name.
Holy smokes. He's a pastor, aye. Very busy. Very, 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 very busy. It was good. Good food. It's a very, very heavy food, as expected.
Yeah, it's gotta be.
But it was good.
Just, like, I don't want to, obviously, like, not life-changing, but good.
No, definitely not what that food review boy made it out to be. But
he said, I've seen that before. I've went to places he's put up, and whenever he puts up, like, he must be getting a little bit, maybe not from them, but I've seen him get coined before for promoting places, Joe.
Well, so. I think there was a few guys behind us in the queue, and they had said that since your guy did the review, that place hasn't calmed at all.
No, exactly, because it'd be fucking manic.
But it was very good. Now, there was nothing. The sauces were class, the food was class, the meat was class, but it was nothing like you're going to go, Jesus, I'll drive from Bangor for this again.
Yeah, that's understandable, though, but it's one of the things.
But fair play to them. He's making coin. A lot of people. We struck it lucky. There was about 25, maybe 30 in front of us in the queue. By the time we were leaving, the queue was maybe 100 deep. Maybe.
Yeah, see, that's fucking bonkers.
And a lot of people taking takeaway. I will say it's the biggest portion sizes of anything I've ever seen in my entire life.
Oh, really?
Like, it's astronomical.
And was it deer? Well, no, sorry, deer is relative.
Well, every so
what did you get?
We tried a bit of everything. So the dirty chips were chicken, and so it's like chicken on top of chips with sauces. And then I had the smash burger. And then we got some short rib, and then Patty had some brisket, and we just shared everything, and it came to £85.
That's dead on. That's like four meals.
It's about £14 or £15 a meal, pretty much.
That's normal.
And then you get but every meal comes with like chips and mac and cheese, or chips and like corn and beans and stuff. But very nice. Like it's now you will be bringing some of it home with you, and there's boxes and all to bring stuff home. So fair play to them. It's very good. And yeah, go try it out and use discount code Tony McAlevey for 10% off.
There you go.
But yeah, we have a lot of people are starting to use the what is it called? So you can leave a kind of comment on our Spotify now. on Spotify, and a few people have been leaving comments this last time.
Oh, hopefully they're not negative.
They're not negative. Well, the burger one was one of the comments.
That's fair enough.
Then like the week before, we had a comment, powerful stuff. 1, 2, 3, 5 stars.
There you go.
And then the week before, I think your sister left a comment. Maybe.
I don't even think Shauna listens to this. I'm not going to lie.
I'm pretty sure Shauna left a comment, like definitely left a comment a while ago.
Probably for his review. So, there you go. Full-time staff members listening to podcasts.
Voice for radio. No, I'm joking.
Fucking well believe it.
But yeah, we're back another week. Another week. Went to the charts. Went good chart setting last week. So thank you very much to everybody.
Where were we? Top 50 or something?
Top 50 in the UK.
That's fucking massive.
In education or self-development. I must check out why we keep charting in them categories when we're not actually in them categories. So it's a weird one, but, you know, maybe they recategorized us. But yeah, it's all good. And as you says, we have a few loose topics that we're cutting across today because...
I think the one of the main ones I wanted to run into was just the pressure that a lot of people are feeling to have more and more done. We sort of went through this before, and like about 6 months ago, the idea that you can end up feeling like there's a never-ending to-do list, and you always just feel like there's more and more and more to do, and you feel like there's no time to stop and take a breath. But I want you to realize that, like, there never will be unless you make time for it. It's one of these things where we don't put in time periods for our workload, and then we just have these never ending to do lists. There's always shopping to get done. There's something to be cleaned. There's somebody to meet. There's somebody to work. There's another task to be done. For me, it's like there's always something more can be done. Whether you're working, like, you know, it doesn't matter if you're working for business or yourself or whatever, there's always something that can be done. I feel like we're very guilty of, like, as we've highlighted before, you call it zombie mode. I call it sort of like autopilot, where one day rolls into the next, and then it's been weeks and it's been months, and then you go, when's the last time I actually looked up and took a breath, and when's the last time I maybe had fun? Because you've been so caught up in, like, trying to get everything done. You're trying to get in shape. You're trying to move the needle forward in your relationship or your work or your life, whatever it is. There's just always stuff. And don't get me wrong, you get hit with bricks in the head. You know, you're getting fucking shit thrown at you, and it can be tough to do that. But if you don't actually make time for the fun, I don't care what anyone says, it doesn't happen. And I feel like a lot of people could actually use that as a message, especially we've been quite deep as of late. But I feel like that's something I'm guilty of at times. I feel like everybody can be guilty of.
Yeah, it's like people go, before you know it, it's the weekend, before you know it, it's Christmas, before you know it, the summer's over. Can't believe the summer's over. Can't believe the kids are back at school. Like, you can't believe that, because a lot of life is autopilot, and a lot of life is counting down or counting up the days. Do you ever notice that? Like, I'm big in something to look forward to. I'll always plan stuff to look forward to, especially if you're dating someone, you plan stuff to look forward to, right? But, like, everything doesn't go on hold where you're just counting down the days. That's like, you know, when you're coming to the end of something really hard, you will count down the days. Like, when you're doing prep for the show, you count down the fucking days, and you're like, Jesus Christ. That might be an indicator sometimes that's a high stress, you know, the thing you're doing may not be agreeing with you. If you're like, it's a Monday and you're going, can't wait for Friday to get off work, or, you know, you can't wait to get out of the house, you can't wait to get away from your wife or your girlfriend or your boyfriend, you can't wait to get away from your kids, you know what I mean? Normally when you're counting down the hours, the minutes or the days, there's something sort of wrong or sort of out of whack. Whereas if you're living in the, not to get too spiritual, if you're living in like the moment, the days, like, you feel every minute and you feel every hour. You know, you kind of feel it more.
Like, that's what you need to do, though.
Rather than when you're like, either you ever go on TikTok and before you know it, it's an hour and you're like, how the fuck is that an hour? Or you're watching something on TV but you're not paying attention, before you know it, this episode's over and you're like, oh shit, what just happened? It's like, I think everybody's guilty of going through life. And I call it the zombie mode, where you're just going, you know how to get it done, and you're just going to get it done. And then the other times when you're in the mode of like grinding really, really hard and on something like a next level, you sort of feel it more, and then you have adaptive period and then you go into zombie mode in that kind of realm of work rate. And I'm the worst for it. Like, I am the worst for it. If there's something I need to get done, I will go into it. But now, because I realize I'm in it, I can kind of control it better. Whereas before, I wouldn't even have known I was in it. And before you know it, like, weeks were passed, months were passed, and then if you said to me, when was the last time you were at this place, I wouldn't know, but I could probably work it out via an event or something, going, oh, it was before that, it was,
well, between, I don't like the countdown of days and things. I think you always need something to look forward to.
Yeah,
but I don't like the idea of like, oh, it's only 2 weeks to this. Like,
yeah, I don't like that either. Like, I hate that.
I think it's your it's like, do you want to be, you're like 17, you just want to be 18 so that you can get into a nightclub, and then you almost wish away your year of 17.
Wishing away your life, wishing away, oh, hurry up. I wish.
Like, Matthew McConaughey says, there's always something you want to look forward to, but there's a difference between looking forward to something and counting down.
Yeah, I don't think like countdowns in general, I don't like in general. Yeah, I love looking forward to something, but yeah. I also believe in making the most of, not like, I have lazy days where I'll do fucking nothing, like nothing, but I will accept that. And you know, it's not like you go, oh shit, I did nothing for these days, I'm so behind. I'll just have a day where I'm going, right, I'm doing nothing today, I'm in control of me doing nothing.
Yeah, like it's one of these things where, as well, I feel like it relates to this idea that I've said before, but where if you don't look up every once in a while, yeah, you can end up going in a direction that you wanted to go, and now it's not the right direction. So for example, like, it's a lot of us just get in the car and put the foot down to the accelerator, and yes, this might be the right way to go, but you should have took a turn left there fucking 2-3 days ago, and now you're still driving, and then you're wondering why your relationship's breaking down, why you're stressed, why you're getting anxiety, because you haven't stopped to take a breath. And whenever you don't stop to take a breath, you can't see what's going good, bad, or wrong in your life to an extent. The good, the bad, and the ugly. And I really want to highlight this. Like, I always say, you can't read the label of the bottle when you're inside the bottle, and you can't see the cracks in your house when you're living on it or living in it. And it's one of these things where you have to take a breath, stand outside, and go, right, what's going well? Let's be proud of that. What's going okay? And what is actually not that good? And sometimes we get confused and we think that things are going okay because one thing's moving well in our lives, like your job or your career. Yeah. But then how's your family life? How's your downtime? How's your stress? How's your fun? Like, when you envision your life in 12 months, it should already start to look like that. Do you know what I mean? Like, we can always strive for more, but realistically, there's nothing to stop you living like that today.
Yeah, exactly. It's
putting things off. Like, you go, when I hit 400,000 Instagram followers, then I'll stop pushing business. And then you hit 400K and you're like, right, let's push to half a mil. If you don't enjoy, and I really want to, I love that Alex Ramosi podcast with Chris Wells. It's superb. And he highlights that it's not about the outcome. It's not about that. And you'll be sick to death of people saying, it's not about the results, it's about the process. It's actually about the hard work, but it's having fun doing the hard work. It's like, don't burn yourself out. But I do feel like it's one of these things where, don't be an autopilot. If you don't have self-reflection time in most weeks, you're going to listen to something like this and then go, holy fuck. You'll pretend and you'll let on like you're going to do the self-reflection and you'll not fucking do it. So that's why I use like gratitude journals. That's why I also do subtle things like that do make a really big difference. Because if I can take, you know, 20 minutes and I ingrain that habit of behavior in the morning to have my cup of coffee and sip, I can make sure the day goes the way I want. Whereas see if you get up and you're just firefighting from running to breakfast, running to work, running home to do something else.
Yeah.
You're going to places and you're doing things and you're there, but you're not really there. Like, you're not excited to be there. Like, I can't wait for, like, later on today when me and my family are going to spend some proper time together. It's been scheduled. It's planning the fun in. We're doing the same on Saturday and Sunday because I've had such a busy, like, sort of 8-9 days since being home. And I think that's so, so important because otherwise you just get caught up. One day rolls in the next. The weeks become, days become weeks, weeks become months. And before you know it, a year's passed and you're going, like, when's the last time I actually took a car trip? It's like one of these things where people go, oh, like, I haven't seen the Giant's Causeway, but I live in Northern Ireland my whole life. Like, that's absolutely fine. But at the same time,
who hasn't seen the Giant's Causeway?
It's one of these things where that just passes
you by. Oh, unfortunately, you haven't seen it.
Do you know what I mean? It's one of these things where that sort of stuff just passes you by very easily. And if you don't make plans to have, it doesn't happen.
No, it doesn't, because you'll, like, procrastination is so easy. And if you have,
or you'll do something,
if you're in a work mode, you'll just do work. It's like, I was speaking to a guy a couple of weeks ago, and he says, he's just an autopilot, grinding. And I was like,
that'll never go.
I was like, if you're an autopilot, you're not grinding. And he goes, what do you mean? I was like, well, if you're really pushing yourself, you're definitely not an autopilot, because you're not, autopilot is the, then it's definitely not pushing yourself. Autopilot is going through the motions. You're in auto, you're just working. Grinding is finding a way to work harder and harder. And I'm not against periods of intense grind, but if you're in autopilot, if you're, like, say if you're a business, you're pushing your business now, and you think you're working hard, but you're in autopilot and you're just doing things without really thinking, you best believe there's another level of work. Because if you really, like, it's like anybody's opened a business will know this. You work hard, you're working really hard, but it's nothing like the 3 days before you open them doors, or the 10 days after. That's when you go, Jesus, there's a whole nother level to this. And probably the Notorious Pizza Boys are listening to this now, and they'll know about this. That when you're in autopilot and you're working hard, that's the way your body is kind of closed off, and you've put yourself, like, in a holding pattern where you're working really hard, no doubt, but there's another level to that. And that's when you re-engage your mind and re-engage every part of you to push on. And he was kind of like thinking, and I seen his head going, he was like, you know what, you're actually right, because I'm just going through and doing what I do, but normally I always feel like I have a wee bit more left in me, but I just thought I was getting better. And that's like, there's nothing wrong with the periods of grind, because everybody has to go through them. It's like when you were getting the app ready to relaunch for clients, like you told me that weekend, like, it's fucking app time. Like, it's, we need to work out a time to record because it's intense. People just probably from an outside think you just go, turn it on, let another 500 people in, turn it off. But there's not, that's the foundations have to be set. It's like when you open a business, like Sally's opened a new place on Friday night in Oma, last Friday, and they were working real hard for 6-7 weeks getting it done up, and the owner just said to me, he goes, like, the real work starts now. He goes, everybody had a big sigh of relief getting the doors open on the Thursday night for the real launch on the Friday. And he was just like, but now they get to go away, but now my real work happens now. And it's the periods of you picking and going into zombie mode, and as we talked about, it can be the most dangerous thing or one of the most beneficial tools you have, as long as you can, like, as long as you know you're in it. Autopilot is dangerous because you don't really know you're in it sometimes. Zombie mode is definitely dangerous.
I don't care what people say, like, it's a choice. It's like,
unless you completely, like, I don't know.
Everything's a choice.
Unless you can completely block everything out, you will have major amount of choices to do every single day. I know people do stuff like, decision fatigue. So they minimize things, going, I'm just going to wear a black t-shirt every single day, I'm going to wear white socks every single day, I'm going to wear white boxers every single day. I'm going to buy 4 of the same pairs of jeans, and that's all I'll wear, because then I don't have to make decisions. I know, like, people get into that mode. Like, I know people, like, before work, they go to the same coffee shop and get the same coffee, so they don't have to make a decision. They park, they normally try to park in the same car park, close enough to the same parking space. It's like people get anxiety when they go to a city or go to somewhere they don't know, because they don't know where to park, and I don't know how long it's going to actually take them, so they leave extra time. And that's kind of, it's a bit of extra stress, but I think people, as you just said, people, you're always in control of all that stuff. You know, your control of everything, your control of how hard you work or how less hard you work. Like, people, you know, it does, when you look at someone, go, you ever see someone like, go, oh, he's a real hard worker? But that's out of choice. Like, they choose to be an absolute animal of working. Because I don't think it's like, I don't think it's born into anybody to be a massively hard worker, harder worker than the next person. Because everybody, everybody starts at that kind of, like, you would have, like, your work rate, what, like, from you now, from you uni?
Different animal. Like, now I struggle to switch off, whereas I struggle to switch fucking on.
Would you carry many traits back over?
It's one of them things where,
or do you see yourself as a totally different, almost a different human being?
I am a different human being, to be honest. Like, I think I don't believe this. Do you ever hear people say, "Oh, people never change"? That's complete shite, because you're changed for what you do continuously on a day by day basis. So it's one of these things where you're slowly building yourself into a different person. You just don't realize it. So, like, as much as I don't like to admit it, like, you're the person who can slowly give yourself anxiety over time if you don't manage it, because you're letting that fester. The same with, like, if your relationship's not looked after, if the same with your body isn't looked after. It's like saying you were in shit when you were 15 and now you're not when you're 30. It's like you can blame stress and work. You've still made the unconscious decisions that have got you to where you are in every aspect. That's your mental health. Because you go, "Oh, well, like, anxiety's not my fault." And yeah, it might not be, but it's your fault you haven't fixed it sooner. You haven't been to therapy. You haven't worked on it. And I know that sounds sly, but whenever you pass the buck with stuff, I guess you immediately go into victim mode. And the problem is, there's things where people listen to that, and it's the same with the concept of it. It was on the Chris Wills podcast. The number one common one he gets is, underneath his podcast post, is, tell me you don't have kids without telling me you don't have kids. And that is the number one friction point he says. But then he says he just gets parents on who to go, like, "No, I do that." Like, it's, there's always somebody in a harder position that you don't. And the thing is, you don't see that. It's one of these things where you don't see what each person's maybe struggling with. Like, somebody could be suicidal and still hitting their gym sessions. Somebody can be, you know, very, very depressed and still making their business work. Some people can be having a turmoil of a time in their business, but then still not taking it out on their wife of frustration. It's like, do you want somebody dats and then people go, "Oh, he's dat, and that's just him being cranky"? It's almost as if you get a bye ball because you're dat, and you pick the fucking dat, you douchebag. You can't be a prick because of it.
He's hangry and all. You're like, fuck off.
It's just a dad. He'll change whenever he's done that. No, like, that person's just a douche. Like,
you're picking to be, you can be low energy, and you're not going to be the best of crack, but you're picking to be an asshole. Like,
if you get snappy with people, that's on you, because people go, "I'm just stressed." Well, you are the one who's taken on the stress. And if you go, "Well, the stress is my fault, work's been..." You could have quit work. You could have talked to the person who runs your business, your job, and told them it's too much for you, can't handle it. You could take a week off and the sick of your snapping. Sure, there's a million and one things. You could go to therapy. You could vent. You could chat. You could emotionally regulate, handle the situation better. There's a million things you could do, but yet you take the bye ball and go, "Oh, I'm just stressed." Like, yes, understandable. But at the same time, that's not acceptable.
There's also the thing where, and this is kind of a bit side tangent, people in workplaces that are complaining about being stressed, but yet they're doing nothing in their, like, daily life outside of work to help their stress, except for complaining about their stress. They're, like, going out at the weekends, they're drinking, they're not getting proper night's sleep, they're not training as much, they're not doing this, they're not doing that. And then they're complaining about being stressed, but really they're just, when they're not in work being stressed, they're outside of work humping more pressure on themselves. Whereas most people who've got a good routine and they're kind of, even if it's a high stressful job, but they've got a good routine and they maybe take care of themselves a bit more, they can manage their stress levels a lot more because they're giving themselves a fighting chance to help their stress levels by doing simple things, be it fucking spiritual things, be it journaling, be it meditation, be it yoga or training. If you're not helping yourself and going home and like, complaining about it and then like going out with the boys and drinking, and then the next day you're fucking in work tired and just doubly stressed in work because you're not working enough, or you're not doing enough because you're fucked off and you hate it, that's where you start the victim mentality and you start blaming, where everybody's like even this podcast and books and fucking Google, there's enough resources out there and people out there willing to help, where you, if you're feeling stressed, you know, do something about it. Like, complaining will never fix anything. And, as people in Ireland, we love to complain, but you can be in charge of fixing anything as long as, like, you don't let it get too far. You know, it's just, we have a kind of thing in Ireland where, especially with jobs, my job's very stressful, I'm going to go in the beer. And I fucking did that. Like, I've did that before. But I would never complain then about the next day going, fuck, I'm well hungover and I can't look at work because I'm too stressed. When I just added to that stress by drinking 40 pints of Guinness. You know, it's not, it's just one thing adds to another, but we, people...
What do you do? I put, turn on Opal, which is my app blocker. I get away from my phone and I usually go trainer.
See, I'm not too bad on my phone anyway, because nothing really on my phone. I will not let something on my phone dictate my happiness. Like, it doesn't matter if it's somebody giving me shit, if it's poor ticket sales somewhere. It just will not dictate my happiness. I'm just in a mode now where I will fucking dictate my happiness. I will be in charge of my happiness. But I just kind of, I think of everything logically now. And I was taught to me and by a therapist a few years ago, and I think of it logically, and I put everything in a logical place. Can I help this? Is this ancient history? Is this just something that's happening? Or is it something that I can do something about? And if I can do something about it, then I'll work out a way that I can alleviate some of this or help some of this or look for help. If it's a joint stressful situation, say if it's me and the boys and our tickets aren't selling well, so I'll go into the group chat and say, right, lads, we need to push these tickets. What should we do? We'll put out a video. Yeah, put out a video. If it's something historical, like somebody comes to me and goes, lad, your gig 2 weeks ago was a bit shit, and the owner of a club, it's never happened before, but if the owner of a club wants to have a chat, there's nothing I can do about that because it's ancient history. It's in the past. So I just break things down really in a sad but sterile, logical way and go, can I control this? Can I help this? Is this how it's going to work? What can I do to make this doesn't happen again? And that's just literally what I do. Or if I want to decompress, I go for a dander, go to the gym, listen to music, go to sauna, steam room.
Cup of tea works wonders with no phone and sitting outside. I find nature solves a lot of life's problems.
Yeah, I do like a wee sit in grass, like just go down to the grass and a wee sit down and chill. And it's just, you know what, sometimes it's just good to get away from like all noise, you know, not even like stresses, just all noise, like all everything. Like there's nothing as good, and I love this in my gym, when I go into the sauna and nobody's there. Like nobody's there, and you just fucking sit there and you're just like, right, this is probably the only bit of quiet I'm going to get all day today. Like I said to you before about when I flew to Australia, see the 12 and a half hours of the first flight or however long it was, where my phone was in airplane mode, was fucking felt great. Like it felt great. Like, even though the people that are texting me and emailing me doesn't cause me any stress, but it's another thing you have to get back to. You know, you have to get back to them at some stage. So it becomes a to-do list. Oh, you have five messages need to reply to. So it's five things that I have to do. But I love the fact that the time that I was on that plane, I didn't know and didn't really care if I had to get back to people. And also knew when I landed in Australia, they'd be all asleep, so it didn't add that extra time. Which made me realise then that I'm probably a slave to work a wee bit more than I should be, and I changed them things. But there's, you know, it all depends on like how much value you put into that too. You know, how much value do you put into, you know, I know people are grinding work, but if you grind and get where you want to be, is it going to change your life? What sort of value and what sort of, you know, cause and effect did you push away people to get there? Did you break relationships to get there? You know, that's another thing. Like, you know, like we've talked about it before and Tony's talked about it. Like, if you put in 6 months of serious hard work, head down, zombie mode work, what is the damage it's going to do to family, friends, loved ones, girlfriends, boyfriends. And when you get there, is it worth it? Or is it completely insignificant in the grand scheme of things? Except for the fact that you got there and you hit your goal, you did what you want to do. But what is the knockback? What is next? As Tony says, no, when you get to 400,000, you go right 400,000 going to hold. You go, no, you're going to want $500,000 because it's a nicer number.
You think you'll be happy? You'll not. Nothing ever. You never catch the rabbit.
No,
you never catch it. You have to change your mindset and your concept. Now, does that mean we don't push for more? No. But does it change our metrics? Like, for example, you always need to make sure you're rewarding yourself for small wins. A lot of people don't do that as well. You know, we're like, right, well, if I nail a full month of debt, I'm going to book that holiday. I'm going to do X. I'm going to take a meal out. And this is where then they look for these small wins during the week where you, like, you know, you eat an extra chocolate bar or something because it's been a hard day. That's not really release.
No.
That's like straight. Whereas you plan it, right, this, I'm going to take this full day off. I'm going to go away with family. I'm going to make the most of it. And if it goes to shit, it goes to shit. Like, all that sort of stuff, you just have to take it bit by bit. Sometimes stuff like that, when your plan doesn't go. But it's one of the things where you do have to really sort of change your thought process. It's like you always hear the thing, you change the way you look at things, things change. But I actually believe we aren't even looking at them. We're not even catching them. Like,
yeah.
It's the thing I highlight, and it's almost, and a lot of people listening to the podcast will remember this, and I said this last year. The reason the reason I love New Year's is because it's the only time of the year people take a breath, reflect, and go, right, what went well and what went complete shit over the last year? And then there's initial momentum, and some people stick to them, some people look. You should be taking a breath all the time.
Well, New Year's can be any day of the week.
Oh, easy.
New Year's can be the final day of every month. It could be the final day of every week. It can be Sunday. Every Sunday can be New Year's. Okay, last week was a fucking shit show. Starting fresh tomorrow morning. I'm doing this, and it's a non-negotiable. There's a boy, Ryan Fisher, he's a CrossFit athlete. And people don't like this because it's like, it's a bad relationship with food. But he's got a methodology when it comes to training. Earn your carbs. Earn your carbs. Earn your refuel. So when you go into that gym, you fucking bust yourself for that 60 minutes. And then your first meal after the gym is always a wee bit carb heavy, and you fucking earn them carbs. And that's his philosophy. Some people don't like it, but I think a thing like that can be crossed over into other parts of life. Earn that reward. You want the fucking Louis B's, you want the nice shoes, you want the Rolex watch, you want the fancy goods. Earn it. Go out and set the goal and go after it. You want the new car, you want the mortgage, you want the gear. She's not looking at you at the minute. You need to be fucking ripped to shreds and look like an Adonis. If that's your goal, go after it. You know,
you'll never become worse chasing something like that with a decent balance. Like, it's not the body, it's the confidence it builds you. It's the character you get from it.
But if you want that, like say if you, for instance, if someone wants to be on Love Island, right?
I got asked to go on a show there recently, by the way.
What show was it?
A new show for MTV, right? Where the individuals have to be naked throughout the 3 weeks of dating.
You haven't got the package. Look, you haven't got the package.
And it's gonna be unblurred and shown past 9 p.m. I was like, oh my god, my todger's gonna be hanging out.
Nah, you wouldn't. You're not. It's not for you, kid.
It's not playing to my strong points anyway.
No, but say if it's something like, say for instance, if someone wants to, like, you want to be an influencer, you want to go on them shows, like, you hiding in your bedroom or hiding in the gym and not posting is not going to help that. No, if you have a goal, doesn't matter how mad it is, if you want to be a fucking YouTuber, set yourself a goal, but set yourself a reward. If I do this, if I hit 1,000 subscribers, I'm going to do this. If I had a million, like, I remember listening to Mr. Beast and listening to, like, even Logan Paul. Logan Paul's thing was, like, when we had a million subscribers or 2 million, we're moving from Texas to LA because we need to be in LA. And they did that and moved there. It's like, too many times people now they put off the reward or they put off the holiday. And it's not to do with anything financially, it's to do with normally they're like, oh, I have too much work on. Like, yeah, but you had too much work on up to this point too. And you done what you said you were gonna do, and now you treat yourself the way you said you were gonna treat yourself. Because if you keep putting things off, and sooner or later you're not going, and you'll regret that, and it goes, and before you know it, you're 8 months later, and you've hit your next goal, but you haven't rewarded yourself for your last goal. And I was the fucking worst for that. And then you're like, Jesus Christ, I didn't get myself that, and I said I would, but. And then that kind of comes around to regret as well, you know. If you said to yourself, right, if I get a first of my degree, I'm going to go traveling for the year. And then instead of going traveling, you get a job instead, and you're in Belfast, and then that job gets a wee bit stressy, gets a wee bit hard. Then you're going to regret not giving yourself the reward that you said you were going to give yourself, and that drove you to do so well in your degree.
You also have to realize that if you don't actually back your reward,
it becomes worthless.
The next reward you set has no real
value.
Yeah, exactly.
I noticed that. I noticed that big time.
It's happened to me, definitely.
Like when you were texting me when I think you were in Mexico and things were blowing up on Instagram, and I kept saying to you, fucking enjoy this process now, because, you know, I know in your mind, if you set yourself 400 or 300, there's always going to be that one thing you go, but I'm not at full capacity yet. I can push on a wee bit here. So that's why I kept saying, do you enjoy this? Enjoy, like, let this sink. Actually let it sink in of what you've achieved and what you've done, because, like, it's massive. Instead of going, right, next one, next one, next one. It's like on Netflix, there's the Swamp Kings, I think it's called. It's about University of Florida, American football team, and Tim Tebow, and they won the state championships and all, massive best team ever. And the team are running into the change room celebrating with a cup or with the trophy, and the manager, the coach, walked into the change room and started texting the recruits that were coming in the following season. And he says, I was ready on to the next one. And everybody was like, oh, what a fucking baller. And then he came out and goes, like, that was absolutely lunacy what I was doing. I didn't enjoy that, because I was texting the boys next year going, now we're the champions, we've got targets in our back, that's what we're going to have to do, 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 do. And he's sitting there 16 years later going, like, that's one of the biggest regrets of my life. Like, that I was that sort of person. And that's the reason why he believes he didn't make it as a professional coach with adults, but he was so good with universities, was because he just didn't have that mentality for adults. And he was very disciplinarian by the book, but you can't do that when people are of certain kin. But people in the comment section were like, oh, what a baller, or admire this or admire that. And he came out and was like, that's fucking ridiculous behavior. Like, and that's kind of, a lot of people in life can get into that mode. And I've been there, Tony's been there, I know people has been there. You just forget to kind of, you know, life is, you have to live a wee bit of a life. Like, there has to be a wee bit of life to live.
I usually find that most people go to one side or the other. They're all work, no play, or no work, all play. And then the swing in these roundabouts, whereas I do believe balance is a myth, but at the same time, you just need to get the right layout for you. And I think that's so vital.
We should come up with a better word for balance.
Ooh.
Because balance is like,
I believe it is balance, but it's not balance as in everything is balanced. You're perfectly unbalanced would probably be the perfect word whenever you're in flow.
Or imperfectly balanced.
Yeah, like imperfectly balanced is bang on, because it means like you might be slightly leaning into your dad phase, but you're not sacrificing your relationship. But you're leaning into your business, but you're not sacrificing your home life. But it's not maybe as good as it could be. Because as I always say, you've only so much energy in the day. Like, you've only got so much to give. And there's going to be time periods where you have to push, you have to pull.
And there is just time periods where, you know, you're going to have to prioritize other areas of your life. That's absolutely fine. There's nothing wrong with it. The problem is when people expect balance to happen because you're trying to balance everything at once. You don't get good or really, really like strong or prominent something like unless you put a lot of time and effort in it. That's the reason relationships go so good the first year and then they go to shit.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the times that people say honeymoon, it's because the effort dies off. Like, you don't put in the same effort you did when you first met them and you took them on dates. And then that's the reason. It's not because it gets stale. It only gets stale if you let it get stale. And that's why stuff like that dies. It's the same with your physique. Your physique's up. It's hard to get it to where it needs to be. And then it's easier to maintain. But if you actually stop doing the work at all, it goes to shit. And you see that all the time with relationships in particular. Or you see it all the time with other variables. And I think it's very, very good to address that because it's something that a lot of people forget, including me. So see, sometimes when I say these sort of things, I'm like, fuck.
Oh, I get that every day. Every podcast, there's something I say, and I'm like, fuck.
I'm like, oh, I should listen to this.
I should have, fuck, if only there was two other people doing this. But that's true. Like, I always have a thing, like, you're in the middle, and sometimes you push to the right, and sometimes you push to the left. But as long as you kind of go back to the middle every so often, and keep yourself surrounded by the middle, that is technically imperfectly balanced. Because, like, if you're progressing in one part of your life, you're putting a wee bit of more effort into that. It's hard to put, say, if you have an effort bar of 10, and you're putting 5 into work, and you're putting 5 into relationship, what are you putting into development? What are you putting in? You know, everything, you're going to be putting in slightly more effort into something else, and that is just how it's going to work. You know, the most important things will get the most important efforts. Tony says the honeymoon period, it's a myth. It's just you put out more effort in the start and everybody gets settled in what they do, unless you keep going back to zero. New day, new plan, new whatever you want to call it, and you just keep realizing back to zero, and keep putting in the effort and sustain it. And that's where, like, people that's been married for like 40 and 50 years, like, there is effort still being put in, even though you might look and go, ah, they're just two ships in the night, they're this, that. No, they found a way to make it work, and it works. Some people I know can't make a week long relationship work. Some people I know are in 20, 30 year relationships. And to people to say, oh, but you know, like, they're just used to it now. Nah. They've known a way, they've worked a way to make it work for each other, and they make it work for each other. Same way in work, same way as fitness. As Tony says, you know, when you get to your dream body, when you go into maintenance mode and maintain it, that still takes a lot of effort. The people that yo-yo in and out, that's when you see things going to shit. And then, like, a lot of people don't hold value in the word effort a lot. Like, they talk about work great, they talk about this, but they don't actually, like, talk about effort, like, putting in effort into everything you do. Like, everybody knows, like, every single person listening to this now can remember a time when they half-arsed a job just to get it done. Just to literally get it done and go, you know what, fuck this, I'm just going to half-arse this. And I've half-arsed gigs before. But, you know, you can sometimes you don't get away with that. But
it's one of these things where, for me, if you're going to do something, I always say it takes just as long to do something like 50% effort as it does 100% effort.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
If you're going to the gym and you give 50%, what was the point? You may as well win and give it all. And I think enough people don't highlight the importance of that because they just like to tick the box to an extent. And that does come back to bite you in the arse, in my opinion, because you don't get the same result. You can see it. I see that all the time with businesses, with coaches. They come in and they tick boxes, but there's a difference between ticking the box and fucking smashing the fuck out of it. It's like going on a date and not showing up with good energy, bad night's sleep. It's always going to go shit. You haven't put in the fucking pregame work versus showing up, you know, slept well, you've been prepared for it, you've got the mind in the right place, you've not let anything throw your flow off. You're in a good place to bring the energy, whereas, like, you've set yourself up for failure or winning based on what you've done in the weeks, the months, the years prior. And that's what I was saying about, you don't realize that you're building yourself into. You're building yourself into a more confident, funny, charismatic person, or you're building yourself more into a person who's not as much fun to be around, negative, if you don't stop and take a breath. I know plenty of people who they don't realize it, but all they do is complain, and then you actually tend up not wanting to really be around that person. And when you analyze it, you're like, they only really bring negativity to it, and then you don't want to be that person. You want to be the person that brings energy, light, the love, the care. You all know that person that you want to just be around.
Yeah. Everybody has that person that just, they're like, they say, oh, he's the life and soul of the party. Or you miss him when he's not there. But there is
good
people,
aura.
There's people that bring good energies to situations, and there's people that suck energy out of you. Don't try never to be the person who sucks energy out of a situation. If you feel like you are that person, or you
work on it.
Because, and it's not like a switch where you go, oh, that's fixed. It's just working it. You know, if you notice something.
Yeah, we do. 1%.
Anything. That's why a lot of people, like, I know they're like, oh, you can't be a slave to the scales. People that weigh themselves every day are more likely going to be in shape. And that is a statistic that is factual. Because they're in control of where they want to be. The people that are afraid to weigh themselves is normally, they're normally the people that are actually the slave to the scale. The person who weighs himself more, it just becomes a dead metric, but it also becomes a metric to say to them, you know, oh, I'm still where I want to be, or I'm, you know, where I don't want to be, so I'm going to have to fix this.
Yeah.
And like it's a weird thing, like, because it was drilled into people about the scales. No, fuck the scales don't matter. But in certain aspects, if you're trying to get a place, the scales do kind of matter. But they don't tell all the story. But they try. They help
with them.
The relationship. But it helps keeps you in sync and in line. If you do it every day, rather than go, oh, I'm not weighing myself for 2 weeks. You could do
exactly
13 days of negatives, and then you shit yourself. Instead of going, I had a bad day Monday, weigh yourself Tuesday morning and go, right, that's not fucking, that Monday is never happening again, because that was just foolish. I had no reason to have that family feast or fucking whatever you had out of Domino's. No, because you fixed it, a family feast. I was trying to think of KFC.
I think that could be KFC.
But you know what I mean? It's like, and then people are like, oh, that's such a bad thing, weighing yourself every day. Well, it's not, because it's just a dead metric.
Taking responsibility for self-reflection on a daily basis, it's the exact same thing as taking a bit of a gratitude journal or taking a breath and a walk to get your head in. And people will say, oh, well, like, I just don't have time for that.
15 minutes.
There's no point even arguing with that sort of individual. They're in a headspace where they'll need enough pain to change. And don't worry, if you're that sort of individual now and you're listening to this, I want you to realize that, yep, you probably don't have enough time, but you'll regret not making time for it, because it will come back to bite you in the arse. And that is coming from personal experience in every area of my life. Yep. Fitness, relationships, same. Home, family, you name it, I've been that person. Oh, don't have time to stop. And then, do you know what happens is, it comes back tenfold, because you've been sweeping it under the carpet. And what happens is, you build a fucking molehill, and you're going to trip flat in your face rather than just pick up the little bit of dirt that would have saved you 2 seconds. Because you could have stopped, you corrected. A really good analogy for this too is, you're going in one direction, you think it's the right thing, but if you don't stop and self-reflect, you might end up going in the wrong. And a really good sort of metric in your head, a good thought process is this, right? Two straight lines are going towards a goal, and they're both fine. They're both straight lines, parallel lines. One takes a 1 degree knock, a 1 degree, a 1% knock.
Yeah.
That line doesn't reach the straight end goal at the end of the line. It ends up fucking miles off. And that's happened to me multiple times.
Yeah.
And you don't realize it until the goal's passed, and you're focusing on other things that don't really matter because you haven't reflected. You've ended up with the wrong goal. That 1% that you didn't even notice has ruined everything because you've not paid attention to it. And these are the things that make or break your life. And then people wonder why they're in a bad headspace. You consciously or unconsciously, whatever you say, the fact to not self-reflect is still a decision. I don't care what you say. It's like, oh, but like, it wasn't everything you in your life, where you are, how you feel, your job, your career, your every single thing that you don't take responsibility for makes you weaker in the game of power, because now you're saying things are outside your control when everything is based on your perception, based on what you do and how you respond to that. And the problem is, too many people like myself used to be like, that's not really on me. Like, I take responsibility for all these things, but this isn't on me. Do you know, I just don't have time for that. I don't. No. That is exactly that victim, that no responsibility, not taking it. And that is what's going to, and I'm doing this from a place of love. I really want to highlight this because I've been caught out. Well, that's affected me on every level. And I wish I could have got that bit of advice maybe 3-4 years earlier. Now, don't get wrong, it's maybe a better person now. I can now impact people's lives more effectively, but by fuck, I would have saved myself some pain not being a stupid bastard and taking a breath. So trust me on that one. I think that's some goal to sort of finish it off. And look, that's some value there. So you do owe me, if you find out about, you owe me a fucking review on Spotify. Mickey, that's the right time to bring it, or sharing your story.
A review on Spotify or a review on Apple Podcasts. I would say
share the story is more
share
important.
Share your story.
And if you don't want to, I don't give a fuck.
If you don't want to, don't do it. But if you want to, be nice.
No, if you don't want to do it, you should do it. Take responsibility.
Take responsibility.
Take my responsibility off me of growing this fucking podcast. All right.
Tony's growing.
Anything you want to add? Nope.
If you're coming to Freshers, buy a ticket.
There you go, a plug. Not as absolutely. So there you go, a fucking plug, right? On that bombshell. Thank you for listening. Tune in next week. We will continue to bring the
fire. If you're from Melbourne, if you're listening to this from Melbourne, there's 5 tickets left.
Stop plugging. 5 tickets are going to be sold anyway.
But there's 5 left, and I honestly can't get you in because we've added more tickets. So if you're on the fence and you live in Melbourne or that area, St Kilda, honestly, I would love to help you out. But there's 5 tickets left. And I cannot get any more.
Right. On that bombshell, thank you very much for listening. We will continue to bring the fire. But do me, more importantly, a big favor. If you do share your story, give us a wee, like, did you find this useful? Because we don't know what nobody's giving us fucking feedback as much as we want. We would love to know what you'd want us to dive in, then what you found useful and what you didn't.
Give us a wee feedback. So and as always, feedback. It's anonymous. It's anonymous. We don't really share your name unless you ask us to.
Yeah, exactly. So thank you very much.
Right. Bye-bye.
Good night. God bless.